Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Tuesday night, actually the wee hours of Wednesday morning, was a big moment for a proposed development in Johnson County. The Overland Park City Council voted 7-4 to allow rezoning of the old Brookridge Golf and Fitness Club, so a 5 million square foot complex of businesses and apartments can be built there. But with lots of neighbors objecting, and this only being the first step, we surely haven't heard the last of this. Rick Hellman is a freelance journalist who's covering this for the Kansas City Star. He was there the other night, and he's here with us this morning. Hey, Rick.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show, Brian.
Really glad you're here. So remind us what land we're talking about and what's there right now.
This is currently the Brookridge Golf and Country Club, which I guess has been there since the 60s. It's at the southwest corner of 103rd and Antioch, and it stretches between 103rd Street and 435.
So it's a big hunk of land.
It's approximately 131 acres.
And have you been out there? What does this look like? Describe it for us.
Well, it's a beautiful site. I have been there on occasions. I've never played golf, but I've been to the clubhouse, and I've been to the little there's a little strip of 12 houses or properties that used to be houses. A couple of them have been torn down at the corner of 103rd Street in Antioch. Mm-hmm. They back up to the golf course. And so I've been on the periphery of the property, and it's clearly a beautiful spot, and that's what engenders some of the fears of the neighbors of giant, you know, buildings blocking their view of the creek. Indian Creek runs right through it. And so there's issues that the developer has to overcome in terms of, you know, flooding.
So I'm guessing when this was built in the 60s, this was out there, out in the boonies a little bit in Johnson County.
Well, this is true. The development has gone up all around it, including 435 Highway. And the development, as one of the opponents pointed out Monday night, of the I-435 and Antioch interchange, it used to go straight from Metcalf to 69 Highway, but then they added the interchange at Antioch, which makes some of this development possible.
So tell us about this development. What is the proposal that was so controversial and just got this vote the other night?
I've seen the figure of $2.7 billion. I don't know if that's exactly accurate, but it's a mega project. It's some of the opponents described it as putting a city in my backyard. It's like putting the Plaza or maybe Corporate Woods, I don't know, on the old golf course.
Because we're talking about multiple buildings and streets running through it.
Exactly. It's the vogue of mixed-use development, which means or which includes living spaces built above first-floor retail. There are some strictly office buildings contemplated and some strictly apartment buildings contemplated, as well as a movie theater and a performance venue and a park, which would be the floodplain, the creek. So there'd be a lot of green space in the center of the project, but buildings on the north and the south, east and west sides.
Are there comparable projects around town that people might call to mind to get a sense of what's being proposed here? You mentioned the Country Club Plaza as one, but that's a much older example. Is this something like Zona Rosa in the Northland, or sort of these mixed retail and housing?
I guess I was thinking of the Prairie Fire development is at 135th Street and I forget if it's Row or Knoll.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But there's the museum out there. There's shops. There's apartments. This is being proposed by a company called Curtin Property, C-U-R-T-I-N.
Yeah, Grant Curtin, the developer here. What's his story?
As I understand it, they are mainly apartment developers. They have some sort of luxurious apartments in Kansas City and in Manhattan, Kansas. But this is by far their biggest foray into development in any place, much less, you know, in the Kansas City area.
Well, it all sounds very nice, but the neighbors have not been as thrilled about the idea, right? Why is that?
Well, no, they're not. They have their concerns about the look of it. You know, the apartment buildings are planned to run all along 103rd Street, blocking their view, which they've had a beautiful view of the golf course all these years. And you can imagine they're not pleased about that. And also the traffic concerns, I'd say, are the next greatest concern. They talk about the developer is going to be required to widen Antioch from the current four lanes to six through lanes and an additional auxiliary turn laning. So at some points it'll be eight lanes wide.
Which starts to feel less like a neighborhood and, to them, more like a highway.
Yeah, there was discussion Monday night that it would become, Antioch would become like Metcalf is between 103rd and 435, you know, very busy. And, of course, they're concerned about people cutting through their neighborhoods and general diminution of their property value.
Yeah, it was only 3 months ago at the March meeting that the Overland Park City Council voted not to do this. What changed since that time?
You know, I didn't cover the March meeting, so I don't know, frankly, all the details about that. But the developer has continued to tweak this development. He's been working on it for 2 years since he acquired the property.
Also filed a lawsuit against the city during that time as well.
That was a brief thing where they filed a lawsuit against the city for the denial, and there was some negotiation, and it quickly went away. And then they turned around and approved it at the Planning Commission level. And then at the council level the other night, this is just the rezoning. There's other things to come.
Like what? What remains before this becomes a reality?
Well, now that they have the rezoning, there's what they call final plan approval. That's the approving of the actual placement of the buildings, their materials, the detail. You know, this is the sketch of it. And then there's the detail that has to go through the planning and the city council. But the biggest thing I think will be the financial incentives that the developer is going to ask for. It's been reported, I have not been able to confirm with Mr. Curtin, that they're going to be asking for TIF, tax increment financing, STAR bonds, another form of devoting the new revenue generated by the project back to the developer. And the figure of $600 million has been bandied about. And if you compare that to the $2.7 billion estimate of the project, it's, I don't know, a fourth of it, you know, is going to be generated by this sort of tax increment financing.
Any sense of the response from the school districts and the other taxing entities of this area?
Yes, there was a meeting before the council meeting Monday night where the school district has asked, the Shawnee Mission School District has asked all the cities that that are included within the district to respond to their proposal about limiting the amount of TIF. I gather they're concerned about losing tax revenue as people are on the Missouri side, where this thing sort of started as a, let's not forget, as a program to develop blighted areas. You know, the taxes would be abated and given to the developer to help stimulate development in bad areas of town. And it's expanded to the Plaza and to Johnson County. And Overland Park approved the TIF financing for another mixed-use development that's going up right now at 80th and Metcalf. $7.5 million, I believe, TIF was approved for that project. It's another living over retail.
Right, and that seems to be happening in a lot of places, as well as the conversation about the TIF financing and throughout the metro. That's controversial. I guess I'm really interested in the effect of this kind of development on the character of a place. In fact, that's one of the objections that some of the neighbors raised, is that there was an inconsistency in these four-story apartment buildings that would face 103rd Street with what had been there before, which is they were looking at a golf course. How does this sort of plan change the character of a part of town like this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about infill or redevelopment of an area where development has grown up all around these golf courses. The other one is the Meadowbrook Golf Course, which is now being redeveloped. Part of it will remain a park and green space, but the southern half will become apartment buildings and senior living facility. I think there's a hotel envisioned there, as there is in Brookridge. So these redevelopment projects, I would say, are always controversial. You know, the neighbors have gotten used to looking at a golf course, and they're not going to be happy with anything less beautiful than that.
They seem like, I don't mean you tell me if this is true, but it seems like they're even more unhappy, though, than they would be if it were going to be houses, let's say, or more of a traditional suburban neighborhood. This feels more urban.
Well, that's true, as far as it goes, but the on the developer's side, you know, their attorney the other night said that this project is in line with Overland Park's master plan called Vision Metcalf that they passed a couple years ago.
Yeah, give us a quick overview. What Vision Metcalf? How is this consistent with that larger plan?
Well, in essence, it expresses a desire or favors this mixed-use sort of development, which would be more walkable, more livable. And if you think about it, this Brook Ridge project, you could not have to leave it for days at a time if you lived on the if you lived in the apartments, if you worked in the office building, if you wanted to recreate at the park or at the performance venue, you might not have to leave for days, like as if you lived on the plaza today.
And is there a sense that that's what people want? Obviously, the developer wouldn't be doing this if they didn't think there was a demand for it.
Absolutely. I was just talking this morning with Jack Messer, the planning and development director at Overland Park, and we went over some of the, I think there's about a half a dozen of these kind of projects going up in Overland Park alone right now. So the developers obviously think there is a market for this, and this is what people want, both millennials and empty nester boomers seem to want this kind of thing. And if you think about it, it's really an old-fashioned thing. I mean, think of Massachusetts Street in Lawrence, mm-hmm. you know, with living over retail. It makes for a vibrant scene and something that a lot of people want.
I know you're here with your journalist hat on, Rick, but I mean, you've lived here and covered this region for a variety of publications for a long time. Do you have a sense that this is a fundamental change in the feel of the region, that we're seeing more of these urban living developments, or is it, as you say, sort of a throwback to something more familiar?
Well, everything old is new again, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I guess it's new. For a long time, Johnson County was the land of single-family housing, and some would say sprawl. But the fashion has changed, and I think mixed use is the trend right now. Leawood, Overland Park, Prairie Village, in all those places, these things are or have been or are going up now.
Not to mention downtown Kansas City. Do you? Well, give us a sense of what's next, what's left in this process. How soon are we going to see construction cranes? It's not really anytime soon, is it?
I don't think so. I like I said, I put in a call to Mr. Curtin this morning. I couldn't reach him, but they still have to do their final plan approval. They still have to go, and as far as Brook Ridge goes, and ask for whatever financial incentives that they intend to ask. And I'm sure the opponents will have something to say at those meetings. So, no, I don't think there's going to be any construction going on this season. You know, but who knows? I'm sure they'd like to get it done as quick as they can. I believe it's been reported they paid $17 million for the property.
Well, Rick Hellman is a freelance journalist who's covering this for the Kansas City Star. Thanks for giving us an update on Brook Ridge. Appreciate it, Rick.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it. When we come back, we'll take a look at a part of Kansas City's music industry that doesn't stay out too late on Saturday nights. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Gina Kaufman. Don't go away.